Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
This is episode number 1228 with Marissa Peer.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
Welcome back, my friend. Today's guest is Marissa Peer, and she is the creator of Rapid Transformational Therapy, and she's a best-selling author, relational therapist, hypnotherapist, trainer, and motivational speaker, and she's spent over 30 years working with people including royalty, rock stars, actors, Olympic athletes, CEOs, and many others. She's written a new book called Tell Yourself a Better Lie. Use the power of Rapid Transformational Therapy to edit your story and rewrite your life. It is a powerful book, and I recommend you check it out. And this is actually the second interview I've done with Marissa recently. So if you haven't listened to the first part about reshaping your negative thoughts and beliefs, then make sure to go to lewishowes.com/1213. But in this episode, we discuss the biggest lies we tell ourselves in relationships. What keeps most of us from finding lasting love? What needs to be aligned in your life for a relationship to work? How to know if you're with the right partner? And so much more. This is going to be powerful for so many of you, whether you're in a relationship or not. I'm telling you, you're going to love this. And if you are enjoying it, make sure to share this with someone that you think would love this as well. Just copy and paste the link, or you can post lewishowes.com/1228. Text some friends, post on social media, tag me and Marissa while you're listening. And let me know what you think about this episode. Make sure you subscribe to the School of Greatness over on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, as well as leave us a rating and review over on Apple Podcasts to let us know what you thought about this episode. Today's fan of the week is from Finn, and Finn left a review over on Apple Podcasts. So big shout out to you for being a fan of the week. And Finn said, the School of Greatness is a podcast that helped me take control of my own life and work towards being the best version of myself that I can be. And everyone needs to listen to this podcast. So Finn, thank you for leaving that review over on Apple Podcasts. Again, make sure you guys leave a review over there, subscribe. And as always, I'm so grateful that you are here. Okay, in just a moment, the one and only Marissa Peer. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. We talk about BetterHelp a lot on this show, and this month we're discussing some of the stigmas around mental health. For example, some people think you should wait until things are unbearable to go to therapy, but that isn't true. Therapy is a tool to utilize before things get worse, and it can help you avoid those low lows. And I'll admit, I used to be embarrassed about going to therapy, but I'm telling you, it is so important. Now it is so accessible as well. I highly recommend that everyone turn to BetterHelp to get started on their mental health journey. They are customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and School of Greatness listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/greatness. That's BETTERHELP.com/greatness. What was the biggest lie you told yourself in relationships until you found a healthy partnership?
I'm not lovable, so I better work for love. I better pretend I'm amazing or always be at the gym or look a certain way so I can convince everyone that I'm lovable. But in convincing them, it didn't work because I could convince them, but I hadn't convinced myself. So I convinced someone else I'm so great, but I didn't believe it, which made me act out. And so that's really the oldest trick in the book. The lie is, I am not worthy of love. One day you'll be disappointed, one day you'll be, if I don't always look amazing or be an amazing mom or keep an amazing house, if I don't always earn enough money, you might find someone better, you know, the bigger, better deal. And so that first lie, I'm not lovable, causes so many others. I've got to work for love. I've got to earn. I've got to go through your phone every night to make sure. I got to keep saying, are you sure you love me? Prove it. I don't think you're going to leave me one day. I mean, it's the first thought creates a catastrophic waterfall of other thoughts.
Because
it becomes
turns into actions that are not healthy.
So if I don't think I'm lovable, I'm going to check your phone and go, why are you looking at her? I saw you looking at him. You like them more than me. You forgot my birthday. Therefore, you don't love me. I've now got my confirmation bias has gone crazy. But it's all come from one thought. But that one thought has created a waterfall of so many other thoughts until it becomes out of control. And so you've got to peel it back like an onion to the middle thought, I'm not lovable, and go, well, who told me that? And let's do that now. Who told me I'm not lovable?
Mm-hmm.
What did they know?
Right.
What were they basing that on? Where did that come from? It's not even my belief, it's theirs. Is that true? Is that really true that you're not lovable? How could you possibly, have you asked every person in the whole world? You've asked a few people in your community. And often they believed you were very lovable. They just didn't tell you for all kinds of reasons. You know, I remember many, many, many years ago, I dated someone that I really loved. And I left him and he was in Washington, I was in LA. And I called him and I asked him a question, do you miss me? He went, no, I don't miss you. I thought, oh, he doesn't love me. Much later, he said, I missed you so much, but I couldn't tell you because I was doing my law degree, and I thought if you knew, you'd come back, and I needed you to stay over there because it was so important to be a lawyer. And that whole relationship fell apart because when he said, I don't miss you, I thought he didn't love me, and I probably went off and found someone else. And he said later, that almost killed me when you did that.
Wow.
But it's like when people, I don't miss you, I don't think about you, I'm fine. One of my clients said that his wife left him, and he cried every day for 6 months, just would come in, switch off, like sit on the sofa and cry. And after 6 months, he called her. And she said, well, I'm with someone else. You never even call me. He said, I couldn't call you because I was a mess. I just had to get myself together. But it's so weird that we don't tell people the truth, or we say, I don't care. You know, that's like sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Words can destroy you and eat you up. So the lie is, I'm not lovable. I'm not worthy. I don't deserve your love. Or here's another one. You'll get disappointed in me. If I show you who I really am, you might leave me. So now I've got to play this part. I've got to earn your love, work for your love.
What happens when we don't show our 100% authentic selves to someone in the beginning, and we reveal that 6-12 months later?
Yeah.
What happens?
They're really shocked. I didn't know you were like that. I had no idea, because they've fallen in love with a version that you showed them that isn't even you. And we forget the truth. Vulnerability is the basis of friendships and indeed relationships. When you're vulnerable, you know, people love you for you. When you're sick, when you have a bad day, they will say, then you know who your friends are. But if you pretend you're okay, I see that a lot with people who run a business, always pretend everything's fine. They never tell anyone they're lonely. And then we realize, like that great DJ who killed himself. Was it Avicii?
Avicii, yeah.
Who never told anyone, I'm falling apart here. Was it not Bon Jovi? Who was it? Eddie Van Halen. There's so many people in the media who think, I've got to pretend I'm great. I can't say I'm lonely, I'm sad, I'm lost. They often let you know through their songs. Look at Prince. I mean, that's so sad that he was so lonely.
Yeah.
But they feel that if they tell us, we'll see them as weak and needy, when in fact the basis of friendship is, if you're vulnerable and I am, I like you because you're showing me who you really are. And I can love your very soul because I know you. But if I'm in love with an illusion, then it can't work because I don't even know who you are.
Wow. How old were you when you started to realize that you're lovable?
I think in my 20s, a long time, maybe. I remember when I was 18, I had this really lovely boyfriend, but he always said, you know, I love the way you look. And I remember saying to my mum, I haven't got a personality. I really believed I had no personality, because I love your hair, I love your body. Mm. But I heard that I didn't have any character whatsoever, and that really bothered me. So I think, you know, it's so weird because when you change so much, you can hardly recognize the person you were. Looking back, I'd say really my 20s, maybe even later than my mid-20s. Mm-hmm. It was only working with my clients over and over again and seeing what was wrong with them that I began to realize, oh, that's what's wrong with everyone.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I began to see all of my clients, they could only ever have one of three things wrong with them.
What's that?
Well, the first one was, I'm not enough. That was the biggie. Every client I saw, whether they were a nursery school teacher, or they worked in a store, or they were a billionaire CEO or a movie star, they all had the same thing. I'm not enough. And so I've got to earn love or buy love or keep being a bigger, better deal to get love. And that's so easy to fix. You just take the not out. I am enough. I always have been, always will be. And you have, you see, the lie is every day you tell yourself I'm not enough. You don't know you're doing it. You get up and go, look at me. I don't look right. I messed that up. I didn't leave enough time to get here. My kids aren't perfect. That client is annoyed. So every day, over and over again, you're telling yourself you're not enough.
Yeah.
And you just have to take out the knot and go, I am enough. If I'm prepared to lie to myself every single day, over and over again, why not have a better lie? Right. I'm enough. It doesn't have to be true. People say, you know, my legs are the size of tree trunks. Well, clearly that can't be true. Mm-hmm. This is killing me. This is making me crazy. This is driving me insane. None of these things are true, but if you're prepared to lie, at least have a better lie. I have great coping skills. Mm-hmm. This is a challenge, but I've got it. I can rest at the weekend. I've got this.
Right.
I've got great, I have great coping skills is a great lie, because if you say it enough, it actually becomes true really fast.
Relax, yeah.
Something I say a lot, you're never given anything that you can't cope with. Or if I got a lot on, well, I'll rest at the weekend. I can deal with this. I've got this. This is fine. This is okay. So the first thing wrong with people is always I'm not enough. And if you feel like that, remember, you weren't born with it. You're in great company. And just let it go because it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing wrong is this belief that I'm different so I can't connect. And that's kind of a modern day illness. You know, if you're in a tribe, you would connect because you'd know that you're all interrelated, you look the same. But this belief I'm different so I can't connect is...
Is it I can't connect or people don't understand me?
No, it's when you connect by being the same. You know, we're primitive people, we connect by being the same. So if you're different, it's very hard to connect because you feel different. And when you feel different, you can't connect. But then you have to remember the truth. If that's your greatest fear, it's most people's greatest fear. So if you look at E.T., he connected to Elliot, but he couldn't connect. And he had to go home because he had to be with his people.
Mm.
So
why is that such a big fear for people?
Connecting.
I'm different, so I can't connect.
Mm.
Isn't different good in a lot of ways? Like being unique and being different?
Well, the answer is yes and no. When you're a little kid, you go, I like SpongeBob SquarePants. I like green pasta. I like Dr. Seuss. And we connect by being, I got a friend, and they like what I like.
Gotcha.
So when we're little, we connect by being the same. And our DNA understands that we are hardwired to find connection and avoid rejection, because that's how you make it as a child. You find connection, whether it's your little kitten clinging onto your leg, your dog wanting you not to leave the house, a baby holding on so tightly to mum. You understand the truth. If I'm connected, I will survive. And if I'm disconnected, I will die.
Mm.
Because, you know, imagine 100 years ago you couldn't produce milk for your baby, or 500 years ago. We understood that connection was what made us live and disconnection killed us. Why every culture would practice banishment or isolation or marooning or casting out. So connection makes us survive.
Especially as adults?
Yeah.
Okay. So we need to feel connected.
Yeah. And if you listen to all those songs, I'll die if you leave me.
Mm-hmm.
My world is empty without you. I can't breathe without you.
Okay.
And to this day, you know, schools understand that. Someone trolls you. Someone ostracizes you. kids, you know, cut you out of the group. Mm-hmm. They don't speak to you. So our greatest fear is if I'm different, I can't connect. But if you go back to that, everyone's fear is being different. So if you have that fear, it actually means you're the same.
Mm.
And connection is a choice. You can connect to anyone all over the world, whatever their race, religion, creed is. The problem is that we don't see that. We still disconnect people. You know, we saw that a lot with the Boston bombers. They were so disconnected from society that that turned into hatred. And it's really important at schools to look at these disconnected kids and to bring them back. You know, if you look at the whole jail system in Finland, it's all about reconnect. We don't put people in isolation and then send them back out into the world crazy and full of anger. We reconnect. And so our greatest fear as humans is to be disconnected.
So how do we reconnect if we feel like our friend group has pushed us away, our family has sent us away? And how do we feel connected
well,
if we are?
Sometimes you've got to find a new group. I mean, you know, your family are just what I call your original family. You can have first of all, you have your nuclear family, mum, dad, brother, sister, auntie, uncle, grandma. But then when you get married, they become your extended family. Mm. And so you can always create a family. So don't go back to the old tribe that hurt you and expect them to get better. I think a lot of our problems is I expect my mum suddenly to become wonderful. She was always mean and hostile, but I expect her to be kind and lovely. She's got old now. Aren't old ladies sweet? No, sometimes they're still cranky. A bitter, cranky person doesn't become sweet when they're 80. And often the belief is, I got to go back to my family and make them love me, when there's a whole world out there to love you.
Right.
And if people hurt you, not always intending to, and you keep going back to them expecting them, but they can't always make it better. It's like, you know, if your family had that capacity to love you, a cup, but my capacity is an Olympic swimming pool, I can't expect that to fill me up. Mm. I can fill them up, they can't fill up me. If my parents have a shot glass capacity to give me love, and I've got the ocean capacity, how can a shot glass fill up the ocean?
Yeah.
Stop going back to people that hurt you and find there are people all over the world that will love you and fill you up. But we keep going back to the hurters, expecting them to make it better.
Right.
They're often so hurt they can't. And they often do things like, well, you know, people like us, we don't have that. And look at those people, we're not like that. So I feel different. You know, if your dad was the town drunk, if you didn't have a dad and everyone else did, if you had money and everyone else didn't, or vice versa, we buy in very early to this, I'm different, I'm different. And you're not different, you're the same. So you have to stop looking for what makes you different, because that's the confirmation bias. Whatever you look for, you're going to find it. I mean, I was a principal's daughter. I felt different the day I went to school and my whole child, because my dad was the headmaster. And that was actually horrible. I realize now that was not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I was always looking for what made me different. And then it became a self-fulfilling prophecy. I kept looking for it. Plus, you know, I could hypnotize people. And that made me feel even more different. And I had this kind of ability to work out what's wrong with someone really quickly. And that's both good and bad. It's actually good. But whatever you look for, you will find. Whatever you are moving towards, you'll get more of. If you look for why your head is killing you, or say, I'm a bit dehydrated, I'm going to drink some water, rub some lavender on my head, I'll be fine in 20 minutes. You've got to decide where you're going. And if you look for what makes you different, you will find it over and over again. But if you say, well, why don't I look for what makes me the same? We're all the same somewhere. Then you'll find that too. And it can be very hard if you're dealing with someone who's violent or aggressive or acting out. But if you can look for what makes you the same and not different, it really changes your life. Because then you can't be disconnected.
Right.
And you can go all over the world. You can hang out with tribes. You know, my friend was in Rwanda with the gorillas. And actually, if you think you're like them, I did this thing of walking with wolves. And the first thing you must do is you have to crouch down. You mustn't bare your teeth. You can't wear wool. And the wolf comes up and it decides that you're a wolf. And then you go for a walk and it keeps rounding you back up. If you walk away, it takes you back into the wolf pack because it thinks you're one of them. And if you can make a wolf think you're one of them or a gorilla,
right,
then of course you can do it with people. But you have to start from, I'm like you, you're like me. I'm the same as you and I can connect with you somewhere, somehow.
Yeah.
Stop looking for what makes you different and look for what makes you the same, because it really is life-changing. The third thing that's wrong is such a sad belief. It's what I want isn't available. Mm. I want love, but I was abandoned when I was a baby. I want wealth, but I come from a family that never had wealth, so I can't have that. I want health. My whole family are overweight, diabetic, so that's not going to happen. And if you want it while believing it's not available, that will block you. And so you have to decide it is available. It's available with bells on. Whatever you want is available. But we have blocking thoughts and limiting beliefs that really get in the way. And you have to go back again to the thought and change it.
I love that. So when we realize these three problems that we all have, or ask ourselves, do I believe I'm not enough? Do I believe I'm different and I'm not the same, you know, I have similarities as others? And do I believe what I want isn't available? If we can flip that and make them all positive, I am enough. I have a lot of similarities as other people. I'm connected.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada, like those quote unquote free trials that somehow still charge your card for something, or when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding deep in the fine print. And I know you've dealt with yada yada before, like those bills that keep going up and up for no reason at all, or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have somewhere else. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included, but you don't take yada yada in life. So don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide. When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead. Like when you're trying to buy tickets for the best seat at your favorite team's big game, or when you're hiring for your business and you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. With ZipRecruiter, you can find qualified candidates fast. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I believe finding the right team member is one of the most important steps in setting up my company for success. We like to ensure our new hires will be a good fit before they're even on the team. So I am grateful that I have ZipRecruiter's help when we want to grow the team fast. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
And I believe what I want is available, then we can start taking different actions. And
yeah, especially with love. The first thing is, okay, you know, I'm enough. There's someone somewhere that will benefit from being in love with me, and I'll benefit from being in love with them. So look at what you got to give.
Yeah.
There's that kindness, warmth. Because all people want is someone to get up with, go home to, that's warm and kind.
Supports them.
So if you want love, you have to believe you're worthy of it, you're enough. Then you have to believe that you can connect with anyone, because love isn't about, you know, often the people we fall in love with are nothing like us. I'm tidy, my husband's messy. You might say I'm logical, my husband's emotional, I'm calm. They're like a Porsche, they go from 0 to 5th gear in a nanosecond. But you have to look for, also keep looking back to what have you got in common? Do you dream the same dream? Do you like the same things?
Yes.
I'm the same, so I can connect, and love is available to me. You know, love is available to everybody. You know, we find love in the strangest places.
Yeah.
But we look for it in the strangest places too. But love's available to everybody.
What do you think keeps us from finding and creating lasting love then?
The greatest problem in finding and creating lasting love is the obvious one, I'm not worth it. Mm. And the biggest problem is people stay with the wrong person because they fear they won't ever get any better. Well, it's not really working. I invested 10 years, might as well invest another 10. It's having such low expectations that will settle for anyone. And the fear of being alone makes us hook up with the wrong person. But being alone, it's better to say, you know, I'd rather be alone for the rest of my life than be with the wrong person.
Mm.
If I decide, and I did that, I was in Africa, I was in Zimbabwe, and I was staying in this honeymoon suite, and I was like, oh, that's so sad. I said, oh, I'm having a great time. I love it in here. I've got a bath, a shower. It's so romantic. And I remember thinking, you know, if this is as good as it gets, it's okay.
Mm.
When I decided if I'm alone for the rest of my life, it's okay. I've got people I love, and I had a lot of love. And then the minute I made that decision, I was married 10 months later. I hadn't even met my husband then.
Is that like an internal switch where you're just like, I'm lovable no matter what, but I'm not going to settle?
No, I'm not going to settle, and I'm very happy. And last year when I was in lockdown, someone bought these 7 feral cats that lived in my garage, and I got so much love from those cats. I was thinking, wow, when I'm 95, it's okay. I'm going to have loads and loads of little wild cats and convert them. And that's the same thing with the cats. I would pick them up and go, I'm going to make this familiar. Every day I'd hold them for a minute and then 2 and then 3. And I put their cat food in my hand. And I was thinking, you know, we're making being touched familiar. And after a while, they just got so used to it because you have to make what's unfamiliar being held familiar. And I think it's always good to say, you know, there's all kinds of love. I can have love of animals, people, maybe my church, friends. Who knows? There's always someone you can connect to, but you've got to look for connection, not disconnection. When you get to that level of, wow, there's a lot of love in the world.
Yeah.
Of course you can find love and keep it forever, but you have to believe you're worth it and you have to believe it's available because love is everywhere. It's all around you. But you've decided it's not for you. Nature's not going to let you have it. And there's never one person. I don't like that expression, twin flame or trauma bonding, because I think it sends you in the wrong direction. There's only one person. And trauma doesn't bond. Many people say, you know, we lost our child. It was so traumatic, we broke up. Or our kid was sick and we broke up. Or, you know, I got attacked or the house got burgled and the trauma ended the relationship. So the belief that trauma bonds you together forever, I'm not sure that's a good idea. I think it might work for some people.
Right.
But you just have to think a better belief. Just decide I'm lovable. You know, my granny used to say every pan has its lid. So you're someone's lid and someone is your pan. You're someone's fantasy dream come true. Someone will find you deeply lovable just the way you are. But you can't make them believe it if you don't believe it. You can't make someone believe you're worthy of love if you think, I'm not really worthy of love. Mm-hmm. One day you're going to be disappointed.
Right.
When you know you're worth it, everyone else will know it too. So we do the wrong things to get love. We try to work on our body, our education, our home. We go to the gym. We try to have stuff snipped off or injected in or waxed off. We're so busy adding stuff and getting rid of stuff to find love.
What should we be doing instead?
Telling ourselves we're lovable. The only thing you ever need to do to find love is only one thing. Convince yourself you're worthy of it until it is. Because a conviction is a conviction. I'm now convinced. It's not a fleeting thought. It's an absolute conviction. And convictions come over time. So tell yourself that I am lovable and I'm worthy of until it is an unshakable belief.
What if we're out of integrity with our conviction?
Mm.
Like I'm lovable, and but we eat poor foods consistently, we're alcoholic, you know, we don't sleep well, we're going on bad dates and letting people abuse us. So how much of the actions and being in integrity with our word to ourselves is necessary as well?
So you're starting from I'm lovable, and
yes,
I'm going to go on dates, and I want this person to say I'm lovable. But if you're eating burgers and fries and staying up all night and turning up with chipped nail varnish and dirty hair and a stained T-shirt, you're not really saying I'm lovable. You're not really saying I'm a catch. You know, if some guy turned up with a beer all over his T-shirt and an egg in his beard, you wouldn't think, oh, he's a catch, any right. more than a guy would think you've turned up in dirty old leggings right. with chipped nail varnish. So when it's, again, that's abusive behavior. If you want someone to believe you're lovable, you have to believe you're lovable. First you believe it, then you start to act in a way that says, yeah, if I'm lovable, I should take myself to bed now. Mm. I don't really need to watch any more episodes of Catherine the Great tonight. I can do it at the weekend. I don't need 8 slices of pizza. I can have one. So it goes back into the message you're sending out. When you know you're lovable, when you resonate it, you act in a different way. You're not a people pleaser. You help. You're nice. You wouldn't go, well, I have what you're having. I do what you want. I don't care. I'll go wherever you want to go. You have an opinion and you'll mm-hmm. say, oh, no, that's not my thing. I don't really like that. No, right. I don't want to do that. I'm not going to drive for 3 hours to see you. If you're not prepared to meet me halfway, then it's not a good place to start. If I've got to pay the bill all the time, if you never ask me, how is the conversation going back and forth? Is someone listening to you? Are they transmitting or receiving? Some people just transmit. They go like a hairdryer. They go boof, and the whole day is them talking to you, and they never ask you how you are. So, and that's not respectful. Respectful is saying, oh, did you keep interrupting me? You're not asking me anything about me. I've been on a date. The person told me one thing about me, and I realized I don't need to put myself through that. And if you have enough respect, you'll say, you know, we've been talking for an hour. This is actually not a match. I wish you great success in finding love, but you're not for me, and I'm not for you. And you have that sense that rather than dragging out another 6 hours,
just start being nice.
I deserve better. And, you know, mm-hmm. again, it comes back to your needs. And in the beginning, when all my clients have what I call unmet needs. They come in and they go, I wasn't loved. I wasn't nurtured. I wasn't praised. I wasn't supported. I didn't feel safe. And when a child has an unmet need, and a baby's need is very simple. The children need to feel safe, secure, loved, connected, significant. Mm-hmm. And as we get, we need all of those. We also need you to feel proud of us, and we need to feel interesting and worthy. And if our needs aren't met at an early age, we give up the need or we give it away. Mm. And you see that in relationships so much. I've given up the need that you care about me, but I'll care about you. Or I'm giving it away. It's your job now. You're going to have to make me feel attractive, interesting, sexy, worth being with. So I'm That's giving exhausting. My need to you.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, a huge work. Because now you're still needy, but someone else's job is to meet your needs. And they can do it very well for a while. But then they get bored. They have their own needs.
Right.
So if you give the need up, no one's going to love me. I expect all relationships. If I always get ghosted. I've now given the need up. I've got my cats. I've got my Ben and Jerry's in the freezer.
My Netflix.
And I'm just not going to even bother. I just know it's not going to work. I've even stopped dating. So I've given the need up. I've even given the need up to have a great job. And I'm living a life that's not very satisfying. But I've given the need up.
Mm.
Or I've given it away. Someone out there is going to have to turn up and meet my need. I need to feel the same thing. Significant, connected, loved, safe. You've got to do that for me. But there's a third way, which is meet the need yourself. As weird as that sounds, if I need to feel safe, my husband's out of town, I go, hey, how can I feel safe? You've left town. I lock the doors, have a little alarm thing that I never use, but when he's out of town, I know where it is in the bedroom. You know, one of my clients said, well, my husband goes away, I have to go and stay with my mother of 85 to feel safe. I'm like, what's she going to do? She's 85 years old. How can that be that you've given your need to be safe to someone of 85? Every time your husband leaves town, you take your kids to your 85-year-old mother. So she's given the need away. But the idea is, okay, I got a phone, I got an alarm, I got a great system, I know, or just to believe you're safe. So if you look right now at your unmet needs, they're always going to be the same. Connected, safe, secure, significant, valid, worthwhile. I need someone to be proud of me. I need to feel I matter. And it may sound kind of weird to go, okay, I'm going to do it. I matter. Mm-hmm. I'm significant. I'm secure within myself. I'm proud of who I am. If you decide to meet your unmet needs, you feel so complete that then you'll meet other people who can also meet them. But it's the opposite of needy. And that's from in relationships. Like, okay, I've got a list here, and someone's going to have to tick all these boxes. And the second thing with needs is when you find someone to have a relationship with, you've got to put your needs in three piles. So I'm going to use all these cups.
Yes.
So you have to say, okay, this need is non-negotiable. You've got to have to meet that need. I need to always know where you are at 2 a.m. I need to know where you are. I need you to call me. I need you to be home in time for dinner. I need you to put your underpants in the laundry basket. That is a need I'm not prepared to sacrifice. That's okay. But then you might go, you know what? I can put the underpants in the laundry basket. Is it really worth all the arguments? So the second you think, you know what? I can meet this need. I need a clean, tidy house. My husband doesn't even see mess, but I'm just going to do it myself. Or maybe we can get someone to come in. But the second need, you meet it. And the third need, just give it up. It's sometimes it's just not worth it. Mm-hmm. So if I said, I need my husband to make a huge deal about my birthday, and go, hey, this is a need. Birthdays are huge. I want a gift. I want it wrapped. I want ribbons. I can say, meet that. I can say, you know what? I can buy myself a great gift. I can do that myself if it's not that important. Or I can go, is it really important? I've got every, do I need all these gifts, actually? It doesn't matter which one it is, but no one can meet all your needs. You've got to have that need as non-negotiable. That need, I can meet it, and that need, I'm going to give it up. So when my daughter is an artist, and I realized immediately the need for tidiness, there's just no way, because people who are messy don't see mess. They can't meet you and go, oh, yes, I'm so sorry. They don't see it. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't say to her, hey, you need a tidy room all the time.
Right.
I could go in and tidy her room every single day, but you know what? I just learned to shut the door. I gave up that need, and it made our family so much happier, because she lives in chaos. And I don't. And she's a painter. Mm-hmm. And one day I went and I stapled plastic all over her walls and her carpet. And that was great. I never worried about it again. So look at your needs. Put them in three piles. I have to have that need met. Mm-hmm. That's okay. Yeah. And I'm going to meet that need. And I'm giving that one up. And allow your partner, too, to realize that they can't meet all of your needs. Mm-hmm. You can't meet all of those. And some needs just aren't important enough.
Right, right.
And others are very important. Depends what they are.
What do you think is more important in a relationship? To make sure your values are in alignment, to make sure your shared vision is in alignment, or your lifestyle? Like the way you want to live your life. Like one wants to travel more and the other wants to stay home.
I think lifestyle, you know, is most, the thing people fight about more than anything is money. With even people with lots of money, the number one thing they fight about is money. And the second is chores, even if they have a housekeeper.
Really?
Yeah. So that must tell you that lifestyle is everything. You see, you don't have to have the same values. You know, you could be of a different religion. You could be Muslim. I could be Hindu. And we can actually get on. Mm-hmm. We could come from a different culture and we can work that out. I come from a family where everybody was divorced. Mm. And my husband doesn't, but we get on really well. So I think values are nice, but that's, you know, we've got to have exactly the same values. We don't always have the same values. Some people value things more. I mean, some of the things my husband likes to watch on television, I find them boring. And
you don't
he
value,
hates all my, oh, that's a chick thing. I was trying to, what was it? I was watching the new episode of Sex and the City. He's like, oh, I hate this. I didn't love it either. So, no, I've got to watch it. I'm invested in it now. So sometimes he'll go and do something else. It's like if you're with someone who loves sport and you don't have to love sport. My husband loves cooking. He's always cooking. I don't really love that. I don't mind, but it's all the shopping.
Right.
And then the chopping.
And then the cleaning.
And then the cooking. And then the cleaning. I'm like, let's just grill some fish. But he likes... So that... But we don't have the same thing because I don't value cooking at all the way he does. Mm-hmm. But lifestyle. If you're up all night and your partner goes to bed early, if you're an outdoor person, you know, you love to travel, they love to stay home... You love family and they don't. I think lifestyle is you're going to spend the rest of your life with one person. So I think you should look. I mean, so many issues about our kids are going to private school. No, they're not. I believe in punishment. I don't believe in that. It makes a very unhappy home.
Right.
So lifestyle is important. Values are important too. And goals and dreams are important. But you can have different goals. Like my husband has no desire to write best-selling books. You could say we're not, but imagine if he did, we'd be competing. But when I'm writing, he cooks me lovely food. He brings me tea and coffee. He knows I have to be left alone because I'm in a writing mode. So we're not the same because he has no interest. He tried once to write a book. He absolutely hated it. He threw the whole thing away. But I couldn't do what he does. So are our values the same? Yeah. Are our goals and dreams the same? No. But is our lifestyle the same? Yeah, we like the same thing.
Yeah.
We tend to go to bed together, get up together. We like to travel to the same places. You know, if I was with someone who wanted to go out all night until 2 a.m.
Be hard.
That would be really hard because that's if I was with someone who wanted to bring people home every night and have a party, that wouldn't work. Mm-hmm. So I think we really forget that having the same lifestyle is really important because that's what people fight about the most.
I got a couple final questions here. What do you think we should feel when we start dating someone and we've been dating them for a while? What do you think we need to think or feel or know internally that we can move forward towards a commitment?
Your feelings are the most real thing you have. And I always think you should feel your feelings until they no longer require to be felt. Let's say, you know, I met this person. I didn't really like them, but oh my God, the sex was amazing. So I overlooked all these things. I met this person who was mean, rude to waiters, dismissive, rude to my family, but they were just so compelling and so gorgeous and so out of my league that I tolerated it. Tune into your feelings. They will tell you very quickly. You know, our gut is our gut instinct. Our gut is the second brain. If someone doesn't seem nice and doesn't seem kind and is treating you badly, why stay? Why wait for that to get better? If you feel that they're not really a nice person, then why hang around? If you notice behavior that's a red flag, they always forget their credit card. They seem to diminish. People say, you know, I don't know how I ended up with a narcissist. But often we do. We go, yeah, I overlooked that.
There was something else that was more compelling.
They were so good looking or so nice or they were very generous. They took me to great places and I overlooked the fact that either they were annoying or mean or even boring. I just thought, I'll stick this out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your feelings are the most real thing you have. And you got to feel your feelings until you get the message and then they go away. And often we just ignore feelings.
Can your feelings ever lie to you?
No, I don't think so. I met many people said on my wedding day, I knew it. And one of my friends said, I knew I was marrying the wrong person on my wedding day. I waited for my wife to come there and I knew I was making a mistake, but I couldn't let people down. You know, Charles and Diana both tried to call off their wedding. Both of them knew it was wrong, but they felt well. You've got to go ahead with it.
And right.
If your feelings are saying no that early, then at least go, hey, there's no rush to get married. There's no rush to move in. There's no rush. I mean, there maybe is a rush to have children.
Mm-hmm.
But more problems occur from picking the wrong person or staying with the wrong person because you're not tuning into your feelings. When you tune into your feelings, you know, because the feeling is, I feel a feeling of rightness with this person.
Mm-hmm.
I love waking up to this person. I love coming home to this person. Even on my worst day, when they annoy me, I imagine my life without them and think, oh no, my life's so much better with them.
Yeah.
So I don't think your feelings can ever lie because they come from the gut, which is the seat of your emotion.
Right.
I think we lie to ourselves. But our feelings don't lie. And, you know, in the 10 people in that book, every single one of them had lied to themselves. That there's a girl in there who wanted to kill herself. And her lie was, I've got to be good. I need to be good. And I said, but being good makes you want to die. She goes, I know. I said, yeah, I think it's time to stop being good. She said, you know, I'm going straight to Victoria's Secret now. I said, yeah, I think you need to be bad. You need to be naughty. If being good makes you want to die, what's the point? And then the girl in there with OCD, and OCD is nothing more than I can't control what's going on in here, but all the cups are going to be just right, and everything. And now I can control out there because I can't control in here. And for her, it was just a question of, look, control in here, look at the thoughts and change them. And so many of us are so busy not really feeling what we feel. We think we can Netflix our feelings or Krispy Kreme donut our feelings or nice bottle of wine our feelings or, you know, even Amazon or eBay our feelings. But you can't, you have to feel your feelings. They're the most real thing you have. When you feel your feelings, you go, what am I feeling? I don't know, but I'm not going to eat it or drink it or shop it. I'm going to sit with it.
Until it no longer needs to be
felt. Yeah, and then it goes away, and it goes away really quickly, and it stops coming back.
Yeah. This is powerful stuff. We'll have to do a whole other episode on relationships another time, but this book is going to help a lot of people. Tell yourself about a lie. Use the power of rapid transformational therapy to edit your story and rewrite your life by Marissa Peer. Make sure you guys get a few copies of this. It's going to be really inspiring, some incredible stories. That there'll be at least one or two examples in here that'll resonate with you and your friends, I guarantee it, and will be helpful action steps on how to overcome these different challenges.
Can I just add one thing? Because one chapter in this is called RTT for Me, and as it shows you what I do with each person, here's Ryan's story, here's Tara's story, it shows you what worked, and at the end it shows you, look, it's not that you don't need therapy, but there are certain things you can do. Certain things you can do yourself, like upgrading the child, that are a great part of what I do with clients, but it shows you in the RTT what you can do at home.
Upgrading the child, your inner child?
Yeah, upgrading the child, dialoguing with a hurter, praise you've always wanted, the missing bit of you, and installing the cheerleader. They're not a replacement for therapy, but you may not need therapy. You just may need to fix a few little things, like the lie you're telling yourself.
Yes, I love this. You've got an amazing YouTube channel, Marissa Peer, podcast, social media, Marissa Peer everywhere. Where else can we go to support you and learn more about what you're up to?
I'm on Instagram. I'm on YouTube. But if you go to marissapeer.com, we have a ton of free audios. We have audios on love blocks, money blocks, success blocks. We don't ask for a credit card. They're all free. So marissapeer.com will give you a lot of free resources. RTT.com is should you want to do what I do, because we've now trained 13,000 people in RTT. It's amazing. In fact, a lot of their stories are in there too. If you want to find someone to do RTT or indeed train in it, go to RTT.com. If you want to get all these I'm Enough bracelets and join the I'm Enough movement, go to I'm Enough.com.
I love
They're
it.
All my websites.
I think a lot of people have signed up to be in the RTT the therapy community from our interviews. A lot of people have messaged me, said I signed up for the course and the workshop, and they say amazing things. So I highly recommend it. Check out marissapeer.com for more. Marissa, you're always an inspiration. I'm so glad I'm so glad we're friends. I'm so glad I get to connect with you, and I learn so much every time I have you on. So I'm excited to do more in the future, and I just appreciate you for constantly showing up. You're an amazing gift to the world.
Thank you. And I did forget to say, if anyone wants to have that program for their children, the cheerleader for children, write to me, because we give that away. We're giving that to schools all over the world now.
Okay. Is that online somewhere, or are they just...
If you just go to marissapeer.com and say you want the I can challenge for schools. We send it, but we also send it to scouts and anyone who's working with children. Okay. It isn't just for schools.
Awesome.
If you've got lots of kids, you can have it in your house or even one.
Amazing. Marissa, you're a gift. I appreciate you. Thanks so much for being
here. Thank you. It's been such fun. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's episode and it inspired you on your journey towards greatness. Make sure to check out the show notes in the description for a full rundown of today's show with all the important links. And also make sure to share this with a friend and subscribe over on Apple Podcasts as well. I really love hearing feedback from you guys, so share a review over on Apple and let me know what part of this episode resonated with you the most. And if no one's told you lately, I want to remind you that you are loved, you are worthy, and you matter. And now it's time to go out there and do something great.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I've learned the hard way that constantly holding on to your emotions and repeatedly choosing to not talk about your feelings will only make you feel worse and worse. And up until about 10 or 11 years ago, I was afraid to talk about my trauma that I experienced. And I know we all carry around different stressors, big and small. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. But therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to fit your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Lewis today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/L-E-W-I-S.